Bible tonight, I would like for you to turn to two passages of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13 and Psalms 103. You can put your marker or at Psalms 103. We'll look at the passage in Hebrews 13 first. I'm going to continue dealing with the subject of healing, the God who heals. It's a subject I started a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday nights, and I believe it's an important subject, one we have to remind ourselves of from time to time. You know, this is where we live. Every single one of us, we live in a mortal body, and we know what it's like to experience difficulty, pain, sorrow, tears, aches, injuries. So it's good, I think, that we're reminded from time to time that the Lord Jesus Christ is a healer, a savior, a healer, a deliverer, a provider, a comforter. Hebrews 13, verse 8, one verse of Scripture. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same, that is unchanged, unchanging, and unchangeable. Yesterday, that means in the past, today, in the present, and forever in the future, for all eternity. He is eternally the same and unchanging. Eternally the same. Jesus Christ is the same. This verse, along with several others, the best known would be Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I do not change." Malachi 3, 6, these are some of the verses that we build or we understand to establish the doctrine of God's immutability. Another is James 1 and verse 17. I'll read this one to you. We studied this verse when we went through the book of James not long ago. James 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Comes down from God, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness. The idea is God doesn't change. Doesn't change like the shifting shadows. Neither shadow of turning. It's a good King James expression that refers to the fact that your shadow changes with every tick of the clock. Because it's getting longer or shorter, if you change directions, your shadow's on the other side of you. It's either in front of you, in back of you. Depending on what direction you face, depending on the time of the day, every tick of the clock, your shadow changes. Now, the Bible draws on that. James drew on that fact that your shadow is never the same to illustrate the contrast between a changing, shifting shadow and God who never changes. God is ever the same. He is immutable. That's one of the great doctrines of God. He is immutable. You know, we are not accustomed very much to things that do not change, because everything we know is changing. It's always changing. It's hard to believe, but a little child that grew up, you saw a child maybe grow up in your neighborhood, a sweet little kid or a sweet little girl, kind, maybe considerate, grew up to be a criminal. They changed. It's hard to believe. I mean, when you're a mother of a teenage child and they're so defiant and sullen and you see the rebellion in their eyes, it's hard to believe that this was a child who used to hug you and just say, "Oh, mommy, I love you so much." And things change. If they live long enough, hopefully they'll go back to that again, loving and appreciating their mother. If you grew up in New Orleans And you know how much everything has changed in our landscape. Our neighborhoods have dramatically changed. You know the old song, Ain't There No More. There's a whole lot ain't there no more. The whole area we grew up in has pretty much vanished or changed dramatically. Things change. People change. Technology changes. God doesn't change. Now, this should be a great comfort to us. When the Bible tells us, Hebrews 13:8, that He is the same, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, we understand that to mean God being immutable, doesn't change. Now, that's a very comforting realization. Or it could be a very troubling realization, depending on your behavior. Because there are a lot of people who would like to think that God changes, that He changes to fit the culture. See, our culture has changed. If you're as old as I am, then you remember how things were 40 years ago and 50 years ago. It was a different culture altogether. People got married before they had babies. Men didn't marry other men, and you know, and so on. Now, we expect, I'm going to tell you, as Americans, we expect that God changes to fit the culture. Because what we endorse, we automatically assume surely God endorses, because this is what we believe, you know, as a people. I say we, as a nation, not you and me individually, because I certainly don't believe that God changes. But our nation obviously believes that God no longer hates certain sins. Or maybe those things aren't sin anymore. Maybe He scratched those out of the Bible, you know, the things demanding morality. Of course, the Bible teaches that not only is God immutable, He can be immutable because He is perfect. He's perfect in all of His attributes, perfect in His nature, perfect in all of His excellences. That is, He's perfect in holiness, perfect in knowledge, perfect in strength. He is immutable because the only way He could change from being perfect is to be less perfect. And that would mean He isn't God at all if He's deteriorating like society, or if He's aging, getting old like you and me. Or if He's getting stronger, if God is getting stronger, more wise, then He's not perfect. If you're perfect, you're perfect. That's it. You can't get any better. If He's getting better, smarter, then He's obviously not perfect. He's therefore not God. You must be a Mormon, because that's what they believe. God is increasing in strength, increasing in knowledge all the time. He grows as a God like you and me grow as a man. Immutability is very comforting for you and me as Christians. Very comforting, because therefore we know that God is altogether holy and He's always holy. Everything He does is right. He's altogether righteous, altogether just, altogether pure, altogether true. We can count on His word being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The promises that He will provide. When you're going through a difficult time in your life, you can go right to your Bible and find, you know what, that promise is still there, that God will provide. Promises that He will forgive. 1 John 1:9, you know, I've messed up terribly, Lord, I've committed an awful thing. I've said terrible things. You can go to 1 John 1:9, it still says, if you'll confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's comforting to know that verses don't appear and disappear from the Bible all the time. Wouldn't that be something if God was changing? If you read the Bible today and they had new verses in there that it didn't have yesterday. I know. Sad, but true. It's good to know that God is not fickle. He's not moody. He doesn't do things at a whim. He doesn't just get angry and withhold His promises or blessings. It's good to know that He is constant. That's very, very comforting. It's good to know that God loves us, that His love for us is constant, even when we falter, even when we stumble, even when we fail. He loves us still. It's good to know, yes, He still loves. It's good to know He will still be with us through the difficulties in life and in all of our life's journey. All of those things are good and comforting. And I'll tell you something else that's comforting to me. You always know what's right and wrong. It doesn't change. It doesn't change with society. It doesn't change with whoever makes laws, Supreme Court, governors, presidents. Doesn't matter. God's law remains the same. That's comforting to me. I know what's right today is going to be right tomorrow. I know what's wrong today is going to be wrong tomorrow. That's very, very comforting. And I'll tell you something else that's very comforting, and that is that all of the promises of God are still promises. They haven't been withdrawn. They haven't been canceled. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. If He's the same, yesterday, today, and forever, past, present, and future, let's consider the implications of that. Regarding our present subject, I said we've been talking the last couple of weeks about the subject of healing, that God is a healer. So if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging, not fickle, consider the implications when it comes to this present subject, the God who heals. It would mean God's will hasn't changed, God's power hasn't waned, God's word isn't altered, God's compassion hasn't faltered. See, that was a little rhyme. I don't know if you caught it. You caught it, you just weren't impressed. Huh? Oh, well. God hasn't changed. I like that. I'm going to repeat my little poem because I don't think Jerry got it. This is for you, Jerry. God's power hasn't waned. God's word... Wait a minute. God's will hasn't changed. God's power hasn't waned. God's word hasn't altered. God's compassion hasn't faltered. That's more than I can say about me. I've faltered, but God's word hasn't. Here's the point. For all the reasons that God healed the sick in the past, He would heal the sick in the present, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, it's been pointed out, and we talked about it over the last few weeks, that the Lord healed the sick to demonstrate that the kingdom of God has arrived. This is His messianic credentials. His messianic credentials. He's Savior. He's Lord. He's Deliverer. He's Healer. And while some have declared, well, that was for then, that's not for today, the fact is who Jesus was then, He still is today. He hasn't changed. He's still the same. So He healed the sick then. He healed them. Certainly, these were messianic credentials to show that the Lord has come. Well, we still need those credentials to show that the Lord has come. We still need healing. There's still sick people among us. The Lord healed the sick out of compassion. He's still compassionate. He hasn't failed or waned in His compassion. So for all those same reasons, He healed the sick in the past, that is yesterday. He heals the sick today in the present, and He will continue to heal the sick in the future. And the arguments, therefore, of the cessationist, whatever they are invalid. They don't have a scripture to stand on, by the way, when they claim that all of it ended at the end of the first century, at the end of the apostolic age. There's not a single verse for them to stand on. Not really. Not any honest exegesis gives them no grounds to stand on. It tells me that no matter what's going on around us, you and I ought to be praying for the sick. Amen. This is part and parcel of the gospel message. When the Lord sent them out to preach, he also said, and you heal the sick. You cast out devils. You declare, you preach. We should be, as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be ready, willing, and believing when we pray for ourselves for healing or we pray for anybody else that's sick. And let's not get discouraged or allow doubt to enter in because of somebody that didn't get well or somebody that didn't get healed. We don't build our theology on our experience or on anybody else's experience. Remember, our theology is based 100% on the Word of God. What saith the Scripture? That's the bottom line. What says the Scripture? Amen. The Scripture says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means I will pray for sick people.
Amen.
I will. And if they don't get well, I'll still pray for the next one. And I'll continue praying for that one. And if we're praying and we're going through a trial, a sickness, affliction, illness, whatever it is, then when we pray, let's exercise our faith and our expectation and trust the Lord to do a work in our bodies, just as He promised to do. Whether we feel any immediate change or not, let's believe that God is working and that God is healing. Did you turn to Psalms 103?
Yes.
All right, let's look at this passage as well. These are familiar verses. We're not showing you anything new tonight. We're just reminding us. This is a reminder. You know, this whole passage, by the way, Psalms 103, is a reminder. It says we have to stir ourselves up to remember what God did for us. Psalms 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you see this, the writer here, stirring up his soul? You know, we are a soul. He's stirring up himself to bless the Lord, to praise the Lord, to extol the Lord, to declare His virtues, His blessings, His benefits. He's rousing himself, shaking himself. Bless the Lord. And then he says, verse 2, forget not all His benefits. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. We have to remind ourselves and stir up ourselves, just like David does right here. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget His benefits. He's telling himself, do not forget, do not forget, do not forget His benefits. You know what the benefits are? What the word actually means? His doings. Do not forget what God does. His acts, His doings, His favor, His blessings, all of His deeds, His rewards. This is exactly what it means. Do not forget what God does. Do not forget what God does. Not what He used to do. What He does. Forget not all. Forget not all. That means don't forget a single one. Do not neglect a single one. Do not forget what God does. You have to remind yourself. I have to remind myself. Because we can get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged. In the midst of trial, in the midst of difficulty, when answers to prayer seem to be delayed, when heaven seems like it's ignoring all your prayers and petitions and tears, you stir yourself, Rusty. Do not forget what God does. Do not forget what He does. He is a present tense God, not a past tense God. He's not a has-been. He's not a once-was. It's sometimes sad to see on the news, they'll interview somebody who once was way back in the past, this guy was a famous quarterback, a famous boxer, famous athlete, great achievements, all kinds of trophies and awards and recognition, and today they're a feeble old man. They were famous, but all they've got to show for it now is some trophies in a box somewhere and maybe some old faded headlines. They had past glory. God's not like that. He does not age. He is timeless. He is immutable. He does not grow older. He does not grow weak. He does not lose his might or his willingness to bless, to heal, to deliver. Y'all are awake, right? David in this psalm says, do not forget what God does. And you know, herein is a lesson, because we are prone to forget. We are prone to neglect. And when we're told here, forget not all his benefits, that word forget can also mean neglect. Don't neglect his blessings. Don't neglect him. Don't forget any of God's dealings. We tend to be, it's sad, but it's true, we tend to be a lazy, forgetful, indolent, unthankful. We let a lot of things slide sometimes, and maybe not as thankful as we should be. We know this is true. That's why we have things like Mother's Day and Father's Day, to remind us, you know what, you're supposed to be thankful for that mother. Amen. You might not tell her how much you love her or appreciate her, but you know, once a year, even our nation says, look, you better recognize your mother. Because we are forgetful, lazy. We let things slide. We neglect. So we have these reminders to remind us. Yeah, you know, we're supposed to remember all the time. Love them, respect them, honor them. Fathers, mothers, fathers. That's why we have monuments all over the city to remind us something significant happened there. Some famous battle happened here. There was some famous person who defended the city or established something. They remind us so we don't forget. They're things we're not supposed to forget. Let's not forget what God does. Forget not all his benefits. Don't let even one be neglected or forgotten. We have to stir ourselves up to remember these things. Never forget these things. Never forget all that God does, his blessings and provision. And, oh my soul, talking to himself. Pull yourself up out of that ingratitude or out of that forgetfulness and remember the blessings of God. You know what else is implied here in the word forget not? It's easy to just cease to care. And we can't do that either. By the way, when he says forget not right here, forget not all his benefits, this is very adamant, very adamant. Some versions translate it not just forget not, but never forget all of his doings, all of his benefits. Never ignore or neglect the blessings of God. Never stop caring. Never stop caring. Sometimes we neglect things, and you know what happens? Shrivels and dies. You forget to water your houseplant? Yeah, it dies. Forget to feed the goldfish? You know what happens? Well, what we neglect or what we ignore dies. And if we ignore, we neglect, we fail to remind ourselves over and over that the Lord we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He saves, forgives, heals, delivers, provides. We have to remind ourselves so that we don't sink into just this dull apathy and let things slide. You can pray. God will hear your prayer. You can pray. You can ask the Lord to provide. You have a need, the Lord promises to provide. You have a burden, bring it to the Lord. You need work, you need additional income, whatever it is, bring it to the Lord. Never forget what God does. Never forget. Not just what He used to do. I wrote down, He is always the great I am, not the great I was. He's the I am, praise God. Good to know. And never forget all that He does. And He tells us what He does right here. Look, He forgives all of your iniquities. He forgives all. Every sin, every transgression, pardons us from all guilt and shame. And you know, He's not reluctant or hesitant when we go before the Lord for forgiveness. It's not like you have to try and pry forgiveness out of His hands. He offers it freely, willingly, immediately. You pray, Lord, forgive me. I come to You, Lord, here I am again. Lord, asking for cleansing, forgiveness. Lord, let the fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins just pour over me and cleanse me from every stain. Wash my mind, my mouth, my hands. Help me, Lord, forgive me, change me, deliver me. You know, the Lord forgives. He's a forgiver. He doesn't say, look, I'm going to put you on probation for 30 days. We'll see how you do. Aren't you glad He's not reluctant? He offers us complete and absolute forgiveness. So many passages talk about this. Micah says He'll cast their sins into the depth of the sea. Micah 7. Verse 19, Thou will cast their sins into the depth of the sea, never to be retrieved again. He'll forgive all, the whole, the sum total of our iniquities. And look, He uses that same terminology when He says, Who healeth all thy diseases. The same all, the same word. He forgives all, He heals all. And He heals, you know, when the Lord walked the earth, He healed every sickness and every disease. There's nothing that the Lord did not heal, cannot heal, will not heal. We have to believe what the Bible says. Don't listen to what anybody else says. Listen to what the Bible says. The world may tell you certain things are incurable, but the Lord is the great physician who has the final say. Amen. We have to believe what the Word of God says. We expect the Lord to move in our lives in a supernatural way, then we have to live like people who believe God will do it. Remember, James chapter 1. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So faith is an important factor in our praying. Faith, believing what we do not see. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders received a good report. It's by faith that we trust the Lord. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. So when we pray, let's pray. Let's pray, and let's pray in faith. Mark 11:24, let him ask in faith. Matthew 21:22, all things you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Mark 11:24, when you pray, believe you shall receive them and you shall have them. It's, faith is a very important, very vital factor here. So let's pray with some expectation that God will do what he said. He forgives all of our iniquities, and you know what? He keeps on forgiving.
Amen.
Not just, it's not just a one-time offer. His forgiveness was not a one-time offer. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
And his forgiveness extends to the present and even to the future. His blessings don't expire like a coupon. You ever get these online offers, promotions, you get something half price, you get a dinner, you buy one, you get another one free or something like that? Well, a while back, I got one of those and I decided I was going to buy one of these promotional things for my wife and I. It was where you get these deep tissue massages, you know. Well, they're like $75 a piece, but this was a 2-for-1 offer. So I sent them, you know, I gave them a credit card, paid for it, thought this was great. Diane and I are going to go get one of these nice deep tissue massages. See, my problem is I didn't read the fine print. So when I called to make the appointment, they said, oh, it's already expired. The offer has expired. I said, wait a minute. I didn't see anything about it expiring. Well, you should have read the whole thing before you sent us the money, I guess, you see. No, I didn't get my money back. That was $75 gone. So
you gave her a massage?
No, nobody got a massage. Oh, did I give the massage? Man. So, you know, lesson learned, read the fine print, make sure it didn't expire. A lot of those things have expirations attached to them, you know. I should have thought of that. I'm glad God's promises don't have expiration dates like that. You want to forgive this? Oh, it's too late. That offer expired already. Wait, you want healing? That expired in 100 A.D., you're like 1,900 years too late. Yet that's what some tell us today, that God doesn't do that anymore, doesn't heal the sick, that miracles are for the past, speaking in tongues and all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not for today, but all of these promises have expired. So that means Jesus Christ is really not the same yesterday, today, and forever. At least he's not completely the same. They say he'll still forgive, but as far as healing now, that's expired. That's no longer for us today. So he's not completely the same, just somewhat the same. So let's alter the verse. Hebrews 13:8 from now on. Jesus Christ, somewhat the same, pretty much the same yesterday, today, and forever, but not completely. For the most part, God's immutable. All right. Verse 3. Who healeth all thy diseases? All thy diseases. Forgives all our sins. Heals all our diseases. Praise God. Don't hesitate to pray, to ask the Lord to heal, no matter how big nor small. Heals all our diseases. And that's exactly what that word means. Disease, sickness, illness, maladies. All of those things. Let's remind ourselves, do not forget what God does. Do not forget what God does. Healing the sick is not just what God did. It's what God does. He's not a past tense healer. I'd sure like to see a whole lot more of it. But you know what? We can't manufacture it. We can't hype something up. We can't pretend. We better not. But we can expect, and we must pray, and we must believe, and trust the Lord to do what he said.
Amen.
To trust the Lord to move in the behalf of his people. And never stop believing. Never ever stop. never stop believing, never stop praying. He goes on, he mentions several other of these things that God does, these benefits. He redeems our life from destruction. This basically means he protects us from death and the devil. He keeps us from the pit, from destruction. He rescues us from danger. And this he does all the time. We're not even aware of it half the time. But he protects us all the time. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. The idea here is that he surrounds us with these things. These are our constant companions, loving kindness and tender mercies. And he satisfies, verse 5, our mouth with good things. The whole idea here is that God provides. He will provide for his people. He satisfies. It means to fill up. I mean, to fill to the very brim. That's the idea there. He will bless us. He will provide for us. He will make a way for us. And the promise, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, is familiar to most people because eagles molt, just like all birds molt. They old feathers, old frayed, worn out, beat up feathers molt off. New ones grow in their place. And a bird can look pretty good with those new feathers in its place, even though the bird itself may be an old bird. But the idea here that is being transmitted is that God will keep us strong and vigorous and healthy. And that's what we're to pray for. Lord, keep us strong. Keep my mind strong. Lord, I don't want to lose my mind. Lord, keep my body strong and healthy, Lord, so that I can serve you. You know, it's not a selfish prayer to pray for health and healing and wholeness. Because when we're whole, we can be servants. When we are not well, somebody's got to serve us. Somebody has to wait on us. Somebody has to look after us. Whereas when we're well, we can be the servant. And that's the whole idea. We want to be a useful servant of the Lord. In whatever way the Lord chooses to use us. But that's our prayer. Lord, keep us healthy. Keep our minds sharp, our faculties sharp, my body. Lord, look, you start getting up over 60 years old. It starts changing. Now, I don't know what it's like to be older, but Bob could tell us some of the others. Lord, refresh us. Refresh us, Lord, in Jesus' name. You know, we need refreshing physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord, let's not forget what he does. He is a present tense healer, deliverer, provider, protector. You know, I think that where the church is today, it's not that God changed. I think it's that, if anything, we've changed. We've lost our expectancy, our fervency in prayer. We've lost our absolute and utter dependence on God. Still in other countries, God moves powerfully and supernaturally, far more so than here. But you know, if you've ever been in many of these other countries, God's all they have. He's their only hope. They've got nothing else. They've got nothing. And they call upon the Lord and trust in the Lord with all their hearts, and the Lord moves in their lives powerfully. We do get testimonies from these ministries who are praying for the sick all over the world and seeing God move in powerful ways. It's quite impressive to travel to some of these third world countries and see people who will walk for miles. Doesn't matter what the conditions are, they'll walk for miles to be in a church service and praise the Lord with such abandon. I mean, their hearts on fire for the Lord. They worship the Lord so much from their hearts. You don't see the apathy like in the American church. I remember the stark difference when we came back from some of these mission trips. The absolute abandon of third world worshipers. And then the American indifference, half the people not singing at all, you know, some half singing or whatever, but yeah. I preached one time, when I preach overseas, they weep. When I preach over here, they sleep. That was for you, Glenn. He said, what? Something happened here. It's the problem's not with God. The problem's with us. We've lost our expectation. It could very well be.
Depend on us. I remember years ago, I didn't have no insurance, no money. I was in my 50s and before I got 65. And every time I got a headache, I prayed and God would heal me.
You should have a mic. You should have a mic. That's right.
I had one.
Get her a mic.
I woke up. When I was in my...
It's probably not on, huh?
When I was in my 50s up till 65, I didn't have any insurance, and I had to trust God for all my healings, and everything I had, I'd pray, and He would heal me. He would heal me. I got 65, and I started getting insurance and Medicare. I don't know what happened. Ever since then, I've been going to the doctor, you know? And I never did before.
You gotta keep praying.
You know, for hundreds of years, the early church saw the Lord move in miraculous ways. As time passed and the church became more and more organized, an organization brought in a certain strangulation, with the regulation came strangulation, and more and more the church depended on itself, its program, its ritual, its rite, its ceremony, and what they did, and they depended less and less on what God did, less and less on God to show up. And I wonder if we haven't repeated that today. We're so fancy. We have so much technology. We can make our own light show and thunder and lightning and smoke, and we're so now geared to putting on a show, a presentation, some entertainment, and it's as though any supernatural element would be considered like a disturbance, you know. We got our program. We don't need anything supernatural. We don't expect anything supernatural. And with the waning expectation, we don't expect, we don't get. Remember, the Lord didn't do any miracles. Bible said He did no mighty works even in His own hometown because of their unbelief. Unbelief makes quite a difference. I do believe that over time, people prayed with less and less expectation. You know, if you pray for something and you don't get an answer to prayer, it can discourage you from praying about something similar next. After that, you get that going on, and before long, you decide, you know what? We need to kind of change our theology here, because I don't think God does that anymore. He's no longer healing the sick. He's no longer answering these prayers. So the theology changes, and the expectation is gone. We can't change our theology to fit our experience. We must believe what the Bible says, no matter what our experience is, no matter what we personally feel or what we witness in the lives of others. I heard a preacher give an illustration. I thought it was pretty good, so I'm going to borrow it from him. He talked about a marine biologist who was doing an experiment up north on a fish called a northern pike. It looks like it'd be a fun fish to catch. They get pretty big. They get to be about 20 pounds, and voracious appetites, predators, carnivorous, I mean, eat everything in sight. Eat anything, as long as it can eat it, it'll eat it. Kind of like our speckled trout, man. They just eat anything, but they don't get 20 pounds. It'd be nice if they did. Anyway, this fellow, marine biologist, puts this big old northern pike in a tank, and they're doing a study with it. And they would feed it small fish, and it would just devour those fish immediately. And then, in the experiment, they put these little fish inside a glass bottle. All the little fish inside a glass bottle, put the bottle in the tank. Well, the fish attacked the little ones and couldn't get them. Attack them, attack them, attack them. Couldn't get them. They in inside a glass bottle. After a while, quit trying. Just quit trying to eat the little fish. Then the next part of the experiment was take the little fish out of the bottle. Took them out of the bottle. The fish swam all around the northern pike, and he never tried again to eat one of those fish. In fact, in the story, the fish starved to death, surrounded by food. But I thought, you know, there's a lesson there. Because I can see how you can be programmed to lose all expectation. You lose all expectation. Because you tried, couldn't get it, tried, couldn't get it, tried, couldn't get it. Didn't happen. And then you just quit trying. You know the old story you've heard before about how they train an elephant to be still. When it's real young, they stake one leg to the ground. And when it's real young, there's nothing they can do about it. It's stuck. As an elephant gets older, you know that little stake's not going to hold it. It'll turn over a truck. But because it learned when it was staked to the ground, it can't get out when it was young, it quits trying. And even when it's old, you stake it to the ground. Little old tent peg holds a big old elephant in its place because it has no expectation to pull itself loose. Now, I've never tried that myself, but I have heard that story. Nevertheless, herein is a lesson. We can never lose our expectation. Never, ever. We must always stir ourselves, like the psalmist says right here. Never forget what God does. Never forget what God does. Present tense. Yesterday, today, and forever. Never forget. Don't forget anything that God does. Don't leave anything out. He heals. He forgives. He provides. He protects. He refreshes. He will keep us strong and vigorous and healthy. Never forget. Oh, my soul. That's you and me. We have to stir ourselves here. Oh, my soul. Never forget. Never forget what God does. So let's pray for the sick. Let's believe for their healing. Let's pray for ourselves. Believe for our healing. Let's pray for deliverance and provision and protection and the salvation of our loved ones. And never ever lose our expectation. Yes, brother. Oh, let's pass the microphone on.
It was just making me think about when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I don't know if this is how we should pray, you know, not my will, but your will be done. Because, I mean, we pray in one of the scriptures, we pray amiss sometimes, it says. So when you're praying for someone that's sick, even though you believe that God can heal them, should you pray your will be done, you know, even though we pray for this?
I do believe there are times when we pray, thy will be done. I don't pray that for the promises of God in general. I'll tell you why. Because God makes his will clear when it comes to the promises. Let's take the promise, for instance, he forgives all of our iniquities. So if I was to pray for forgiveness, I would never say, Lord, forgive me if it's your will. I would say, Lord, forgive me. I know it's his will. I know it's his will to forgive me because he's made his will abundantly clear. So I would pray, Lord, forgive me. And I would pray the same way for healing, for someone's healing. Now, the difference would be if it was an elderly person and it was And I believe the Lord was calling them home, you know, because none of us are here forever. We know that. None of us are here for long, really. And none of us knows how long we have. Psalms 90 gives us a general time frame of 70 years, 70. Sometimes people live that long. Our brother Dave, he's 68 years old, went to be with the Lord. Sometimes we don't live that long. Sometimes we live longer. Sometimes we live much, much longer. Won't mention any names. But when it comes to those like very, very ill, very sick, very elderly, I would definitely pray, Lord, I still pray for their healing. However, Lord, if it's their time to come home, then Lord, let their passing be quick. Do not prolong their suffering. I would pray for a merciful passage from this world to the next.
I kind of think that's what I was, that's where I was getting at. The second part would be, I've heard stories of that where people are praying for the elderly to heal them, keep them with us, don't let them go. And the elderly actually says, no, please stop praying. And if it's the Lord's will, let them take me. Don't hinder them.
Right, right.
There was an old lady in the hospital, a friend of mine's, and we loved her so much, we didn't want her to, you know, to go home to heaven. And so we were praying over and praying God to heal and restore. And I'll never forget, she looked up at me and she said, don't do that. I want to go home. And, you know, I was really, because she, you know, she was tired of suffering.
Oh, yeah.
And in pain. And, you know, she was about, I think, 89, something like that. So, like you said, Pastor, if they, I always ask them, now, after she told me that, if I pray for real, real old people, I ask them, are you ready to go home or you want to stay? You know, so I pray for you because you're willing to stay.
Once it's ingrained in us that this world is not our home, and none of us are here for long, let this world lose its allure for us. Death is not defeat for the believer. Living is not the most important thing. Living well, living for eternity, that's the important thing. Not just lingering on and on and on. I mean, sometimes it's just pointless, and it just causes prolonged suffering for us and prolonged emotional suffering for our families. Let's go be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. We do have to live ready. And yet, I do believe that when we pray for the sick, that we should always pray for their healing, and that we should fight for their healing until the Lord takes them. Fight for their healing until the Lord takes them or heals them, one or the other. The Lord heals them or takes them. And if they go, well, then we rejoice. Praise God. And if they're healed, we rejoice. Either way, we rejoice. But I don't believe we surrender. I don't believe we ever surrender to sickness. Mm-mm. And just say, you know what, I throw up my hands, it must be God's will.
No.
I don't believe we should do that.
Praise God.
I believe we should fight for healing, standing on the promises, confessing the word of God, fighting the good fight of faith.
Amen.
And that's what we do. We fight for our loved ones, praying spiritually, fighting spiritually, I'm talking about. Same way for all the promises of God. Hallelujah. Father, we do pray. We do pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to stir ourselves so that we never forget. Let us never forget what God does, what our God does. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've done, all you do, all you continue to do in our behalf. In Jesus' name. Amen.